Ken Owens and Dr. Alexandra Brintrip, thank you very much indeed for talking to the IFM Manufacturing Thursdays podcast series today. Can we start with you, Ken? Why are we looking at supply chains and data management now?
Supply chains have always generated a lot of data. I mean, people have been doing data management on their supply chain assets and processes for as long as we've had supply chains. I think the reason that this area is such an important research area is that with the increases in speed that go along with global communications, there's an expectations for immediacy, for parts availability and transparency and how assets move through a supply chain. So where people used to locally manage their supply chain data, now there's two things. There's an expectation that information can be shared globally, and there's the there've been enough developments that supply chain data can actually be stored or shared globally. Now, what winds up happening is we have to try to bridge the gap between the locally stored and maintained data and the advantages that can come along with culling that data and analyzing it for trends and for benefit for other supply chain folks. So,
you talked, didn't you, about aircraft and rapid response teams in terms of problems with parts, problems with components, getting those problems solved, knowing where the components are. It's really an exciting time in terms of solving the problems of the supply chain.
Yeah, I would agree. The there traditionally are a lot of stovepipes in the way supply chains are managed, and the data is stored and saved. We are able to do things with, some of the technologies that Alexander's been working on where, an example that I gave in the lecture was, we've been able to map the people and processes for a simple function of ordering out of production parts. And generally, it takes at least five different people with different skill sets. It can take up to, 2 months just to identify a likely supplier for a particular part. With some of the solutions that we've put together by digitizing information and making it available in a shared server, with the right algorithms, we can almost instantaneously get a prioritized list of likely responders to a request for quotes. So, we're taking a lot of administrative lead time out of the parts procurement process. And for an airline customer that has an aircraft that's out of service, the only way that they get their money back is when those airplanes have people in the seats and are flying places. An out-of-service aircraft costs millions of dollars to airlines. All of this automation allows, these airplanes to get flying again.
And there was a moment in the presentation where you actually sort of nearly jumped up and down, but not quite, where you talked about solving a problem in nanoseconds,
right,
when before it would have taken you 7 weeks.
No, that's true. We, I work within Boeing, and the most of the solutions that we create are for internal Boeing customers. So we have to give demonstrations of the work that we do in the same way that any other researcher does. And, I call it the most exciting, non-exciting event that happens when, this process that was a 7 or 8 week process gets boiled down to a button push, and it takes longer to tell people that I'm going to push the button than it does for the computer to come up with that prioritized result. So, for us, and there's all the people that did the research are all smiling broadly, and the people that are listening to the demo kind of are scratching their heads saying, what happened just then? So, but for the researchers, it really is exciting. And once you start explaining what happened and people see how the process can be leaned out, they wind up getting excited too.
Well, now I think it's time to turn to Dr. Alexandra Brintrup, because you are indeed one of the academic researchers on your project. Can you tell us what your project is about and what you found?
So specifically, our project is on self-serving assets, which is quite exciting and interesting. Our vision is about making assets on aircraft autonomous and intelligent in procuring their own service and maintenance operations. So what we would have at the end of the project is an asset that is self-aware and is able to trigger some kind of action by deciding that its health has degraded or it has flown so many hours so that it needs to be serviced. So once it does that, it then goes in the network, looks for suppliers. Obviously, it's not the asset that's doing this, but it's a computational agent that's linked to the asset, that's representing the asset, and is acting on behalf of all its stakeholders.
You're talking about intelligent parts almost here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So the part is self-aware and is able to actually negotiate with suppliers of service in an automated manner, so that the decisions that are taken in the service supply chain become traceable and hopefully optimal.
And why is that necessary? How does it benefit, say, a company like Boeing?
So if we look at the current state of affairs in the service management operations of various industries, we would have parts that are monitored via manual testing or through sensors, and we would have information that's collated on a centralized database. So then we would have the spares or the service activities being sourced manually through a service supply network by some operator on the phone, searching and negotiating with suppliers. So that immediately brings us various flags, where we have saying that we have a very manual process which could get quite lengthy. And if there is a bottleneck, for example, you know, all the decisions then are queued in front of a bottleneck. And what if that bottleneck fails? That also results in a risk of the whole service operation not going through. So by using an automated and distributed system, we are outsourcing those kinds of decisions on the parts themselves. So it's all about eliminating bottlenecks and making the operation much more traceable, faster and optimal.
Indeed, exciting as well. I mean, but this is a three-year project. Dare I ask you, you're 2 years into it, how likely you are to succeed in this, should I call it, quest?
So we have actually demonstrated a first physical prototype of an intelligent asset, and we have gotten quite exciting results. So I guess our project is quite a bit futuristic, so the real technical realization still is quite a long way ahead. But what we will do in our next year is looking into more practical concerns, things like the business side of it. You know, are suppliers ready for adopting this kind of technology, and what actually needs to be done to transition the whole technology to industry?
Ken, it truly, sort of Alexandra's excitement shared by your own. How might these adaptations of the process affect change in the future?
With a project like this or a technology like this, you know, several things will happen. You know, the transaction times will speed up, which means that lead times will decrease. And because it's an automated system, we think that data integrity will also be improved. For a company like Boeing, you know, we drive towards making sure that parts or platforms are available and they operate safely. We want to make sure that platforms get back in service for the airlines. And when you look at a system like this, in a traditional model of parts that need replacement, you know, someone needs to go and look through the information to see, is there an expiration date on that asset? With Alexandra's system, the agent or the asset itself says, my expiration date is coming in so many days, and that trigger is set by however long it typically takes to get a replacement part. So a lot of times now, like with a life vest on an airplane, people will check and say, oh, this life vest has expired, the calibration or the service period for the life vest has expired. They need to go and find out what the likely supplier is. With Alexandra's system, it all happens automatically. It happens within seconds. You know, the competition is managed. So in addition to being a safety concern with the airlines, for every mile that an airplane flies with an out-of-date life vest, the airline is fined per flight mile. You know, so there's a real cost to the companies as well as the safety factor, where, you know, as a passenger, you know, I don't want to sit in a seat where it has a bad life vest. So, you know, it has availability benefits, safety benefits, and then, you know, sometimes financial benefits.
Well, yes, because I was going to ask that. The profitability is the bottom line, because you said, actually, a plane that's grounded, for even for a few days, costs an airline a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, and something that's not as transparent, and sometimes the researchers don't see it, but, you know, procurement agents, they build relationships with a lot of suppliers, and sometimes those relationships are disadvantageous to a company, where because it's comfortable or familiar to work with a particular supplier, they'll send work to that supplier, whether or not they have the best price or service or reliability. A system like this is kind of indifferent to those things, and the competition that happens with the agent ensures for the company that uses the system that they're getting the best price from a broader cross-section of likely suppliers. So I think that the quality of the part maintains high because, you know, especially Boeing, we use certified suppliers, but we'll be able to query a broader section, cross-section of suppliers to make sure we're getting the best price.
And Alexandra, you clearly agree about the application of this technology, but what's changed so that the technology is possible now? Is it just simply the advancement of computers and IT?
I think there are changes in two respects. The first one is technology. So if we look at the evolution of this intelligent asset recipe, where it includes a unique identification, we have seen many, for example, developments in RFID technology. We have seen developments in wireless sensor networks, in the scalability of computational agent software or the availability of open software, and so on. And on the other side, we have the organizational, you know, the developments in organizational culture for accepting these kinds of technologies. So about maybe 10 or 20 years ago, you know, when companies heard about agent-based systems, emergent systems, they thought about the Matrix movie and maybe, you know, not. So they had their own kind of perception of AI. But today, more and more companies are deploying these kinds of intelligent systems, and their benefits are becoming more apparent. So I'd say there are two separate aspects of development in this respect.
But definitely an exciting moment, even if you are a year away from finishing the project.
Definitely, yes.
And what about you, Ken? That excitement of pushing the button and everything solved in a nanosecond?
Yeah, it really is exciting. I mean, the benefits, as I mentioned, improved data quality, increased transaction time, and, you know, decreased lead time, you know, is for a company like ours. I mean, those are all the hot button issues. So if we're able to deliver this to Boeing, and it will take a lot of participation, because, you know, Boeing's only one half of this. You know, we'll need to build momentum through the good documentation that Alexander and her team are doing on the project, build momentum of not only the manufacturing base but the supplier base, because, you know, the Boeing's only one half of it. We'll have to have companies participate and build agents of their own to communicate with the system that we're creating. But, you know, it will benefit all alike, and the bottom line is, I think we'll have safer airplanes flying, and they'll be more available to our customers.
Well, Ken Owens and Dr. Alexandra Brintrup, thank you very much indeed for talking to the IFM Manufacturing Thursdays podcast series today. I think I even understand the future of supply chain data management. Thank you for explaining it to me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.